This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given in August of 1956. The title of this lecture is Exteriorization Procedures. This lecture is 29 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
I want to talk to you now about exteriorization. The parts of man consist of a body, a mind, and a thetan. According to man, in that order of importance. According to us, the parts of man consist of a thetan, a mind, and a body. We're running there a 180-degree vector, but it happens to be the right one. But not according to the thinking of your preclear. He would much rather believe when he is having a bad loss that it's all just mass, mass, mass from there on down. And the way he behaves is, how can I get into it? How can I stick in it? And how can I get it to accumulate on me? You remember that in auditing people, you will never run processes then which get him out of it, which unstick him, or which deprive him of mass in the long run. You get that little thing. In other words, your activity with regard to this is a sort of a it's a sort of a swindle, actually. You audit in the direction that you are just going to plain smear him in, you see. You're just quietly and pleasantly with the very best procedure. You harp on nothing but getting into things, getting stuck to things, and getting wrapped up one way or the other. And you just harp on these things with your processes. And he gets unstuck, he gets separate, and he gets so that he can tolerate a little less mass. Now, this is quite important. Games theory tells us that we audit in the direction of a compulsive game. We audit toward a compulsive game. Now, the way your thetan's sitting there as a preclear seems to be looking at it, is that if everything stopped, he would be all right. That's a wonderful thing. There's nothing more beautiful to him than a graveyard. That's because his goal in a games situation has been on the basis of create, survive, destroy, you see. And he has always been heading for the goal of destroy. In the ultimate. But he gets very unhappy if he reaches it, because that takes him out of the game. So you actually don't run how dead he is. You run him planning to make things sufficiently stopped and sufficiently dead. You got it? Acting in that direction. I'll give you the crudest of these processes, which would be right on the button. You have him mock up himself in a body planning. And just have him shove that mock up into the body and mock up himself again, planning, and shove that into the body and mock himself up, planning, and shove it in the body. By the way, you occasionally get a preclear who does nothing but plan. He never does anything with his plans, he just plans. Well, this is the fellow who has been stopped so much, he doesn't dare start. So he takes it out in the interim by planning. Most of the dead in the head preclears that you run into will run on this, because it's what they're doing all the time. They are getting audited because it is part of a plan to do something else. That's really fascinating. And by the way, the reason to be audited is quite amazing. you can have him start dreaming up reasons why he's being audited for 25 hours, and he'd probably get a good gain on the profile. Give me another reason for being audited. Now, just can you get yourself figuring out whether or not that would be a good reason? Something on that order. He has to have a motive, you might say, in order to go in the direction of stop. Of course, he is really not going in the direction of stopping himself. He's going in the direction of stopping others. That is the game's condition, you see. So if you ever did run stop, it would only really run on the basis of stopping an enemy. Something on the order of invent an enemy. Okay, now conceive him stopping. Got the idea? Invent an enemy, conceive him stopping. Now, if you ran him, mock up yourself dead, we used to run, and it's a very limited process. It doesn't really work over any long period of time. But its workability was on the basis that he was stopping his body dead. And his body was an opponent. And when you had a person who conceived his body to be an opponent, the process worked. And when you didn't have a person who conceived his body to be an opponent, but who conceived his body to be an ally, it was a lose for him, you see. It worked. Winning and losing, enemies and friends are all matters of consideration only. Very well. We look over the entirety of exteriorization, and we discover that it is antipathetic to a game's condition. We find that the one subject and object which dominates all processing is antipathetic to any pre-clear goal. Although he may say, but it's on an inversion, I've just got to get exteriorized, I've just got to get exteriorized, I've just got to get exteriorized. He's been saying it for the last few billion years, which means he's been out of the game that long. Now, if you give him ways and means to get into rougher, meaner games, he will eventually be able to exteriorize from some games. But any game is better than no game. That is the motto of a pre-clear. And when you get him to interiorize, or figure out ways of interiorizing, it is certain that sooner or later he would exteriorize. Do you see that? The game's condition is get into it. The healthy condition is get out of it. All games are aberrative. If you want this pre-clear to regain his health and mental equilibrium, you've got to make it possible for him to get out of it. And you do that by making him figure out how to get into it. Invent a game of comparable magnitude to mining to the center of the earth, you know? Something on this line. Now, it is so thoroughly fixed in most modern pre-clears' thinkingness, figuringness, that the worst thing in the world they could do would be to exteriorize, that when they have done so, it has put an engram into the bank. I mean, it's that serious. They blow out of their heads, that's an engram. Now, an engram is a moment of pain and unconsciousness retained in a mental image picture still possessed by the thetan or the body. That is the exact technical definition of an engram. The word engram means, by the way, latterly, trace on a cell, which is totally incorrect. But once upon a time, we thought that these things were sort of engraved on cells or something of the sort. And so we picked up this word. The word actually was taken from an old body of healing. So that you will get some old witch doctor or something down the middle of Jungle Bongo Land or something. Or in the middle of Harley Wonga Land. And he will tell you that we have always known about engrams. Yes, he has known that this word existed in nomenclature. But it means a trace on a cell. It means a training pattern on a cell. Yes, he knows that kind of an engram. But he does not know this other one. And therefore, we're up against a little bad piece of... There are very few of them in Scientology. This is one. It's sort of a bad piece of titling. Nomenclature. What we mean by an engram is a moment of pain and unconsciousness contained in a mental image picture which is still possessed by the body or the mind. That is an engram. Now, what then is the most serious of these engrams? Does it have much to do with how badly the body was smashed? No. Does it have to do with how long the body was unconscious? No. No. There are two other conditions which make the engram that serious thing for which we search and which we eradicate. There are two other conditions. The first of those conditions is, did he exteriorize during it? And the other one, is it unknown to him? In other words, then, for a target engram, as far as the auditor is concerned, it would be a moment of pain and unconsciousness which contained exteriorization from the body or a mass and contained as well the particularly aberrative factor of being unerasable at a glance because it is unknown. That's quite important. You see, if he doesn't know it exists, he never looks at it. If he never looks at it, then he never erases it, so it persists. Now, that's a target engram. It's right there. That's what the auditor finds the preclear sitting in and around, and the auditor starts to play around with this, and if he finds, let's say the preclear had a dental operation, his father came in and kicked him, and his mother came in and kicked him, and the dentist got mad at him, and the nurse robbed all the money out of his pockets, and he was afterwards in a state of nervous collapse, and then the income tax people arrested him because he didn't use that period for filing a return. Something like this, and you say at once, oh heavens, isn't that a nice aberrative engram? And so you audit it and audit it and audit it and audit it, and he doesn't get any better, and he still is nervous, and finally gets rather upset with you. Why? You've taken away a game he can have. This is how bad it all is. Just a little bit earlier, however, he tripped over a saucepan and it blew him out of his head. He was unconscious for a 16th of a second. That's the engram you're looking for. See, not what you would consider duress, but does it contain all the factors? And the factors are, of course, he doesn't know it exists, he exteriorized during it, does contain pain, does contain unconsciousness, and that is the exact anatomy, length, and breadth of what you're looking for. Now, take that as a basic, and then go up into higher duress. And you get this higher duress as more motion in it than your preclear could ordinarily tolerate. Now, an unconscious man, you would think offhand, cannot worry too much about motion. You say motion, that would be nothing to an unconscious man. No, that isn't the case. An unconscious man is very conscious of motion. And so as we begin to add motion to this incident, it becomes more and more serious. And when we add to it electronic phenomena, energy masses, ridges, engrams, facsimiles, blowing around like cards thrown up in a whirlwind, we get something you're going to have a picnic with. Now, don't think these things are rare. They are not rare. Any case that is having difficulty is sitting spang in the middle of one, and he isn't going to resolve or get anywhere until he is squared away on that particular incident. That's an awfully broad statement, but I'm afraid that's a fact. Case will improve. Case will do better. Case will get kinder to people. But sort of on an ox cart basis, you know. And you're in the market only for jet planes. All right, buying a jet plane consists of handling such incidents I've just described. Now, such an incident would contain these factors then: pain, unconsciousness, didn't know what happened during it, had a tremendous amount of electrical phenomena, that is, engrams, mental image pictures, blowing around and so forth, and is in restimulation. Now, that combination gives you at once the service facsimile, an old term. It's that thing which a man uses to get sympathy with. It is the reason why he believes certain outrageous things, so on. Now, the solution to this engram is almost as arduous as the engram, I'm afraid. I would love to give you an easy solution, but an engramectomy depends exclusively upon the cooperation of the preclear. Now, the parts of man are a thetan, a mind, and a body. You can look at your textbook and find the compartments of the body. You can look in Gray's Anatomy and find the compartments of the body. You can look in a Scientology text and an old Dianetics text and find the compartmentation of this thing called the mind, but thetans don't split. Now, here he is, then. And unless you get a thetan's cooperation, it's all machinery from there on down. Now, the person has to know at length what happened himself for it to do any good. Somebody comes around and he says to you, now, you're a Scientologist and you're an exterior, and why don't you go around and fix up my aged Aunt Bessie? Why don't you go around and fix up Bessie? And you say to him, well, I would happily fix up Bessie except for one thing. The only way to fix up Bessie includes the cooperation of Bessie. Unless Bessie gets the gin, she won't get the good health. So it's all very well for you to sharpen up your beams and do an engramectomy on Bessie. Chances are you won't get away with it. You see? It won't really change her state of health, because her state of health is basically based upon the fact that man is basically a thetan. And basically, Bessie is definitely a thetan. So, all right. When we look this problem over, we discover that everyday life is not aberrative. It's quite remarkable, but it's not. You can drop books on your toes, bang your head through windshields. You can assault police. You can do all sorts of things in the common routine games procedure of life and receive not enough aberration about it to bother with. Really, it's a fact. So therefore, these people who are going around feeling beautifully sad about how aberrative life is must be working out of one of these target engrams, because it accumulates to itself associative material, which then themselves become aberrative. They're locks, and these locks, as they associate themselves to one of these engrams, become very aberrative indeed. And as a result, the person feels that life is unbearable and is impossible to live. We agree that during the period that he was experiencing one of these target engrams, life was not being lived. It was impossible to live life during that period. It was even impossible to have a game during the period. Later on, he might take the engram itself and have a game with it after it happened. But it is certain that it required such an incident of such magnitude in order to bring about a lock accumulative condition. So the condition itself to accumulate anything had to have a good solid, and I mean solid, foundation, which contains a lot of stop and a lot of motion, contained a lot of pain, a lot of unknowingness. He doesn't know what's happened in such an incident, by the way, so bad that he doesn't even know there was an incident, usually. He might even tell you about it on the surface, you know. He might say, well, yes, I remember that very well. I did snag my hand one time on an airplane wing as I walked around the front of the airplane. Yeah, I remember it vividly. It turns out, finally, that after his hand got snagged, the pull of the propeller sucked him into it. He battled with it for 20 minutes before they got the motor stopped and got him off of it. He exteriorized, went to the between lives area. They said, "What are you doing here?" Gave him an engram there, zapped him thoroughly, told him to go back to Earth. He picked up the body 18 miles away in a strange hospital where it was neglected for 2 days before it was healed. This is sort of the way these things begin. It's quite amusing. They just keep developing. It's as though you had a railroad track and the thing had a spur line that is circular. So the train's really, and his thinkingness, comes along this line, and instead of really proceeding, as it apparently does, straight along the main line, it goes off on this spur loop, travels through the jungles, over hills and dales, burns wood, gets itself watered again, is stopped by torn up tracks, so forth, comes around, derails a few times, and finally on a small handcar in tatters, the thought re-emerges on the main line and continues its voyage. That's usually what one of these things does to thought. It's quite amazing. Thought, by the way, is the shortest distance through all of the winning valences to present time. Now, what do you do about it? Well, you exteriorize him. Well, how do you do that? Since he knows exteriorization's painful. By making it possible for him to interiorize, of course. That's all there is to that. Exteriorizing by making it possible for him to interiorize. And he gets out of these things. Well, the subject itself is all bound up in such things as havingness, control, and other factors. But the main thing that it's bound up in is the subject of a vacuum. You usually find that he is stuck in vacuums. That's the ordinary thing. Now, the vacuum might merely be a third rail which only had a few thousand volts in it, something minor. He was simply electrocuted for murder in the last life and has been having trouble in this life ever since. That, by the way, is quite an engram, but not very aberrative. But it makes a man feel that he ought to murder somebody. I've handled these, by the way. I've actually found people and found the date and time of the execution, where they were executed and for what. After I'd run the pre-clear, trace back the data. Sure enough, he was electrocuted. This society is getting very electrically minded. The more they shock and jolt people, the more trouble they'll have. Now, whatever this engram consists of, it is serious if it is something like a super cold vacuum or a heavy electric charge, which disarranges the electrical phenomena of the bank. And you can thank your stars in a preclear when you only have a minor shock or something like that, accompanied by exteriorization, unconsciousness, pain, a bunch of scrambled facsimiles. They come out of this rather easily, a few 15, 20 hours. They'll come out of those rather cleanly. But now let's take one vacuum, which is super cold, into which the entire bank poured at the time it happened. Isn't this gorgeous? You have the entire engram bank, and all of the locks and mental image pictures pouring in to a physical object all in a few seconds. In other words, this thing was a vacuum. Now, you can make a vacuum by simply making something very cold which has infinite capacity and zero resistance electrically. Anytime you can bring about that condition, you can get one of these vacuums. It's quite amusing to get a preclear in the middle of one of these things and then run it flat without handling any of the motion. That's very amusing. All of the engrams in it go into action. So you have to handle it, actually, on the basis of, you have to handle it. It's amusing. The preclear goes up and down and lies out on the sidewalk and flip-flops and so forth. Why? He's used it for years as a major rest point. It's a quiet point surrounded by motion. So when he sees too much motion, he knows where to go. To a quiet place where there wasn't any of this motion. Follow that? So the methods of handling this have to deal then with putting it in a game's condition, handling the motion in it, and giving him other places to stop. And if you do those things, you will discover that it comes apart rather easily. You can get some of these apart in as little as 50 hours. But when they're apart, they're apart. That's that. Now, they get cuter when one vacuum at one point in the track has attracted to itself, as a facsimile, numerous other vacuums from other parts of the track. That becomes a little more complicated. You want to know which one to tackle. Tackle the present time vacuum, for heaven's sakes. That is to say, the present life vacuum. Don't go too far on the backtrack. Try and find out what was grouping everything in this lifetime, because the Thetan holds this engram in common with the body. And actually, an engram experience has to be held in common between the Thetan or the body, or the Thetan and the planet, or something of the sort, in order for the person to be entrapped by that thing. In other words, he has to hold the experience in common with it. Had to happen to both of them. And this then becomes more or less an easy task if you know what you're doing with it. Now, there are probably hundreds of ways of doing this. The most certain ones, which we know at this moment, is to locate where it occurred on the track by one means or another. You just run recall a can't have, and you'll have this thing pop up, by the way. We call it a can't having this on the track. And he'll wind up in a vacuum. The simplest mechanism, if the crudest. Not particularly good, but it's easy. And then have him get a moment later than that incident and have him make it solid. And a moment earlier and have him make it solid. That's a facsimile, you see. And a moment later, make it solid. A moment earlier, make it solid. Then you, of course, have to have problems of comparable magnitude. You have to run that on it. And invent a game of comparable magnitude. And in addition to this, you have to remedy his havingness from time to time, maybe with such a thing as the trio. And doing this, you'd certainly tend to slip him out of the incident. But don't think it isn't hard to do. It is hard to do. It contains quite a lot of slug. Your preclear has to be under good control, which tells you that you have to run a lot of SCS in order to get him into a condition where he'd do so. But once you have handled this, exteriorization can be handled with ease, and you can run all of the drills in the creation of human ability, those various exteriorization drills. You can run all those. You can do various other things. You can keep on auditing on standard process and so forth, and he'll just keep on exteriorizing better and better and better. But your first target of exteriorization is achieved by handling one of these target engrams, and that's why people won't get out of their heads when you tell them to. And having solved that, I feel very happy to give you the solution to it.